It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great Amber May show. Is here with topics you like out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. I am so glad you joined me today. You could always get in touch with me by visiting my website at theambermayshow.com. That's theambermayshow.com. You can also email me right there on the website, or you can write me at P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona, 85385. P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona, 85385. Well, I'm so glad you joined me this week on the Amber May Show, and I just want to make a quick announcement that if you would like to go to Israel on a tour to the Holy Land, all you have to do is visit this website and get all the information. First Arabic Baptist Church, AZ.org. First Arabic Baptist Church.org. There's a link on my website for that church as well. You can get all the information on how you can join the tour. $100 deposit is required as soon as you register. And the trip is September 8th through the 18th. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, something you're not going to want to miss, so be a part of that. Well, so much has happened in my week, and I hope a lot has happened in your week. And I've just been blessed to be able to encourage people this week, and I hope you too. I came across one email or one message on Facebook about how someone was turned off by going to a dealership, didn't want to purchase a car because it was owned by a Christian. And that kind of hurt me, and I was wondering, what happened in this individual's life to have disliked Christians so much? Did something happen? Did someone let this person down? Then I got to thinking, maybe we're not doing our jobs as Christians. Maybe we're talking one way and acting another. Could that be? That possibly could be. Or maybe, I don't know, if people just expect too much from Christians because we're just human beings. We're just valuable like everybody else. You know, we preach one way and we're trying to live that way, or we should try to live that way. But oftentimes we fail because the Bible says all of us fall short of the glory of God, every single one of us. So do people just look at Christians and think they should be better people than what they are? And maybe they put us too high of a pedestal? I'm not really sure. All I know one thing is Jesus said, the world's going to hate you because it hated me first. And if we're his disciples, they're going to hate us. But should we keep trying? I think we should keep trying to reach people. Then I came across one post that was just like, was so blatantly ugly about homosexual lifestyle. And yelling and screaming at them and saying they're going to go to hell isn't the way to reach them. I mean, let's be real here. Let's look at what Jesus did. When he ran across prostitutes and the worst people of his time, what did he do? Did he yell and scream at them? Here's God Almighty in human form talking to what society would think are low-class, worst people of society that people didn't want to have anything to do with them. I just don't recall yelling and screaming at someone saying you're going to hell was the way Jesus went about doing that. And if anyone had the right to do so, it would have been God himself, Jesus, right? And just to clarify, Jesus is God. God is Jesus. They're one and the same. We worship a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're three people in one. Just, it might be hard to fathom, but when we're talking about Jesus, he is God here on earth. God with us. I just seem to recall Jesus saying, go and sin no more. Loving them, talking to them. I mean, the Samaritan woman was shocked that Jesus even asked her for water because Jews and Samaritans didn't mix. They didn't talk. They didn't run in circles. Not to mention she was a prostitute on top of it. I have never gone up to a prostitute and decided to start a conversation and ask, for a drink of water. Just not something I've done. Maybe you have. Maybe you've worked on Skid Row, or maybe you've worked in some area that's populated with inner city problems, and maybe that's something you've done. Not something personally I've done. But I've talked to people who've worked in inner city, and they kind of have the same attitude like Jesus. They love them. And that love makes people change. So in the Bible, when we're reading about how Jesus treated people, we're looking at God came down for love. That's the only reason he came down here. The only mission was to show love and to bring to reunite us with him, because sin separates us from God. So he needed to make one final sacrifice so that we could have atonement for our sins, because we're all of us fall short of the glory of God. Christians fall short every day, just like non-Christians. And it'd be nice if we weren't put on like this higher level in the world, because people look at us, and when we do fall, then they think, oh, Christians are fake, or God's not real, or whatever. And then if we do fail someone we're ministering to, that could really turn them away from God. And I'm wondering if something happened to this lady, this lovely lady I care about so much. Did someone fail her that was supposedly a Christian or is a Christian, and it hurt her so bad that she's turned away from Christians altogether? I don't know. I just come across a lot of people lately that maybe that are even Christians, and the way they're living right now isn't God's best for them. But what am I supposed to do? Yell and scream at them and say God hates you? Because clearly he doesn't. He's working with them. He's still providing for them. He's still taking care of them. What can I do? Okay, here's what you do. I had a conversation this week with several people. You love them. You tell them God doesn't hate them. You tell them God loves them no matter what. Because he does. He loves them no matter what. And if he didn't, he wouldn't have died on the cross for us. He made us just like a parent. I don't know how many parents out there that dislike their children when they go astray. Parents still love their kid, even if their kid's not doing the right thing. And God's no different than that. That's why God gave us his parent-child relationship, so he can open our eyes so we get a better understanding of what he's all about. Because a lot of people have no idea. They just have this idea that he sits high and lofty and he smites people all day long. That's not him. What he does all day long is he sits up there and he thinks about each and every one of us. The Bible says, as many as the grains that are on the seashore. Like, his thoughts towards us are countless as the grains of sand on the seashore. And we cannot count all the grains that are on the seashore. And that's how much he thinks about us. And he loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. And I've come across some people on Facebook that lost their children this week. And that is the most painful thing to ever go through, I think. To lose your child. And that's what God did. He purposely sent his child, Jesus, because he loved us that much. Because he knew Jesus would be perfect and would not sin while he was on earth. So, if you have that, I don't like to use the word judgmental, because people say, oh, you're judging me. A judge is someone who convicts you, who gives you a sentence for something you've done wrong. Someone who's trying to help you and trying to change your, you know, maybe encourage you to live the way God would ask you to live. Or maybe you feel the Holy Spirit convicting you through that person is not judging, because they're not sentencing you to anything. So I don't like that word judgment, but let's say you have that conviction that you know something in your life isn't right and you don't know how to fix it. I told this person yesterday, just ask God to heal you. Have you ever thought of that prayer? Just releasing those parts in your soul and in your body that maybe someone hurt you in such a deep way. Physically, mentally, maybe both. Maybe you've gone through a traumatic experience. I had a relative who went through a childhood and had a real traumatic childhood. As an adult, wasn't able to overcome that and decided to take his life. And it was very painful for the family. And I would always encourage him, let God work in that part of you. Because the only one that can take away the pain that you feel deep, deep down in your soul is God. He's the only one. No medicine can do that. No person can do that. No thing, no object can do that. Just God. I don't know what is in your life right now, what's hurting you so deep in your soul. I really don't. But I know the one who does, and I know the one who can help. And I just encourage this person just to pray healing on themselves. Allow yourself to open up so God can touch you where your pain resides. Wouldn't you love to be pain-free? I would love to be pain-free. There was years I went through nothing but pain and agony, and sometimes I talked about it on the show. It's amazing how I could still reach people even though I was in a lot of agony and pain. I lost 3 babies. I lost a dear uncle who was more like a brother. I lost a cousin. I lost a lot. I lost a lot. More than I want to go into. And I felt like dying. I literally asked God to take me. That's how desperate I was at one point. But God decided in his wisdom that it was best to keep me around, which I'm grateful because now I have this perfect little daughter. Perfect, absolutely perfect and beautiful, and I love her so much. And God did heal me. I finally opened up and allowed him to touch me and to heal me. Took some time. But if you want to feel like a burden has been lifted off your shoulders, and you want healing in your deep, most, uttermost parts where all this pain, where someone hurt you or I don't know, usually someone hurts us. So maybe someone hurt you and you have this deep, 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 deep pain in your heart. I'm just going to ask you to ask God to heal your soul, heal your heart. And it's not always going to happen instantaneously. Sometimes it does. For me, I finally got this huge breakthrough. A huge breakthrough. And then I had little ones after that. And sometimes God's going to take you on a small journey of healing. Because he knows what's best for each one of us and what we can handle. So I just want to encourage you that. To do that. Remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two. Encourage someone else this week. Tell them that God loves them by being a friend, by loving on them. And when you do that, you change the world because you've changed the world of one. And that one person has so much influence over others. Have a great day.